Little Words Big Story is supported by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme through their television licence fee.
Dear Gwich, August Faltry, go Little Words Big Story, the programme where you have your say. I'm Caitlin Cullen-Murphy.
And I'm Bob Dumer.
And we'll be presenting today's programme.
This is the penultimate programme of our six-part Little Words Big Story series. Yet again, we'd like to thank all of you for your stories, poems and drawings. They are so fantastic.
We have a jam-packed programme for you today. All your stories and poems are in their boxes and we'll pick them out as we motor along.
Let's get our skates on. Very best of luck to you all.
I'll give the story box a good shake.
And our first story out this week is A Fantastic Ship of Spies read for us by Ella.
The Ship of Spies by Egan O'Reilly. One day, there was a ship getting ready to sail, and all of a sudden, dangerous criminals climbed on board. A whole team of spies climbed into the ship. Criminals were all around us. Spies were everywhere hunting the criminals down. They gathered at the control room to try and sink the ship. The criminals were very big and scary. They held everyone hostage on the deck and took their phones. The spies knew they had to do something, or we were all going to die. All of a sudden, I saw smoke, and then the sky lit up in a bright red colour. The spies had set off a box of flares. Within minutes, the guards had come on board and helped the spies capture the criminals. I couldn't wait to go home and tell everyone what happened.
Great stuff. Now an adventure of a different kind. All the way from Our Lady of Consolation National School, Donnycarney, we have a somewhat psychedelic story, read by Niamh.
Locked in the Lights Room by Nora Fitzgerald. Yay, we get to go to the Lights Room. It was just a normal Tuesday. I was so excited because I was allowed to go to the Lights Room with my friends, Niamh and Amber. The Lights Room is one of the coolest rooms in the school. We were having a great time. We were about to leave, but we couldn't get out. The door was jammed. We were locked in for ages. We were so bored. Until all of a sudden, Niamh disappears, and then she reappeared. She looked so happy. We asked her what happened. She told us that if we walked under the hanging lights and counted to three, you would appear in a magical land. Amber didn't believe her, but I was wondering how she disappeared. So I went and tried, and it was amazing. There really was a magical land, with floating sweets and purple clouds, and all the houses are floating in the air. To go up the houses, you had to climb stairs made out of gingerbread and a banister made out of candy canes. We went back to get Amber, but she wasn't there. Nora, Niamh, we heard her shout. She had crawled through the tunnel of lights, where there was a zoo of mythical creatures. There were unicorns, mermaids and reverse mermaids. Just then, all of a sudden, we heard Liz call our names. I woke up to find a pair of shoes blocking the door. We had just fallen asleep for 5 minutes. Liz came and moved the shoe to let us out.
That's all a fantastic start to our programme, and our first poem today is equally fantastic.
Indeed, Bob, and we're taking a break from cold days and dark evenings with this poem. The Sunny Day by Jenny Lucky. What a sunny day for picnics and play. All the children are out, that's not a doubt. All the parents are sitting, what a lazy bunch. Get up from the benches and do some work. All the birds were singing, but very loud. One bird pooped in my hair, but I didn't care. I went back home and sat on the couch. When on the TV, all I saw was a pouch. I went to bed and it was soft. What a lovely day for me and my brain.
Cool. Our second poem today comes from St. Brendan's Primary School, Airtain, and it's a real breath of fresh air. Trees by Ben McHale. Trees are big and strong. Some are evergreen. Trees give us oxygen and help us to see the world. When trees are cut down, it ruins the world we live in. There are oak trees, beech trees, birch trees, and even horse chestnut trees. We pick up the chestnuts and play conkers when they fall. The wind blows, acorns fall off the trees into nature's floor. Squirrels rush to pick them up, ready for hibernation. The woodpecker pecks the bark to make his home. Leaves are falling, autumn has arrived.
That was great. I like this little one from Holy Trinity National School, Donnymead. I Am by Alicia. I am Alicia. I wonder why we are here. I hear the music and the sound of my singing. All my friends laughing and playing. I pretend that I am a unicorn. I feel happy because other people are happy. I touch my smile. I worry if my mom and dad are sick. I cry if I get hurt. I am Alicia. I understand that I have to learn. I say to my mommy and daddy, I love you. I dream of unicorns. I try my best to be good. I hope that my sister will come home safe. I am Alicia.
I really enjoyed those poems.
We're heading down the road to Gael School, Colmachill, for a story, As Gaeilge Read For Us by Vanva.
Ag fágáil bailge le síofra. Tá brónar gráine. Tá brónar Toms, Kemi agus Liam freisin. Beidh Toms, Kemi agus Liam ag tosú ar rang a sé amárach, ach ní beidh gráine ag tosú leo. Tá gráine ag fágáil na scoile agus na tíre. Tá teaghlach gráine ag dul ar imeacha go dtí an astráil. Fuair athair gráine post nua mar inoltóir san astráil. Tá cúpla daoine ó clán gráine ina cónaí san astráil cean féin. Tá gráine ag díol gachrúd sa teach. Níl gráine ag gíirí a maidir róg a ágáil an éirin. Téan gráine go cúil an garáiste agus leanan a cuairde í. Tá róg ceara bliana d'aois, ní féidir le méid a ágáil. Is cumal a líise nó díormid faoi, ar sa gráine. Níl líise ach trí bliana d'aois, ní higgin si, ar sa tám. Tá díormid deplín d'aois agus is cumal leis, ar sa gráine. Sin na páistí sa Sean Cishan. Is brálam an Sean Cishan seo. Cain fánach bhfuil sé ar díol, ar sa Liam. Ní raibh mé iad sásta é díol. Ní Sean Cishan seo. Is Sean Bhaloon é. Is brál a róg dul a colla ann, ar sa gráine. Nuair a bheith tú a Sydney, bheith tú brá sásta, ar sa Liam. Tastín uma bheith a bhaile a clia le róg agus sin é, ar sa gráine. Bhí gráine bórtha faoi róg. Bhí na páistí ina dost. Bris Kemi an cúnas nuair thóg si amach a fón póca. Ar maith libh pein fic a thógáil, ar sa Kemi. Bua, ar sa Liam agus Toms. Ceir go leor, is é seo an fictúir déanach le na céile, ar sa gráine. Nuair bhrú róg é féin isteach sa féin fic, a thos é gachtainna ag gáire. An sin, léim an bhí eile isteach. Bhí súla gurma, clúsa móra agus arbal fada eca. Bhí dá dún ar a clúsa a cosa agus a herbal. Hit gachtana ar a céile nuair bhí Kemi ag cógáil an féin pic. Lulu, cad as a tháinig tú? Bhain tú gait asam, ar sa Kemi. Gúirtig tú ma rútín a Lulu, ar sa Tom. Gúirtig tú ma glún a Lulu, ar sa gráine. Deach siad ar an féin pic agus thosaigh siad an gáire.
That was brilliant! And this story from Scoil Caitríona Coilíní, Coolach, read by Hannah, is really fantastic.
The Story My Granddad Told Me by Kelsey O'Mahony. It was a cold, frosty night, and me and my granddad was watching a movie. It was so close to Christmas. I asked my granddad to tell me one of his stories. He said, sure, what one do you want me to tell you? I said, a good one, like one when you were younger. He said, okay. There is this one about how I met my good old friend. I said, okay, tell me. He began the story with, I was in my house one night and I was fed up with my siblings. So I ran out of the house and robbed some money from my mum's purse. But back when he was young, there was pounds. Anyway, let's get back to the story. So he took a few pounds from his mum's purse and off he went. He ran down the lane he often played in. He sat there for a few hours until it got a bit dark. After an hour or two, he heard his mum calling, "Ciarán, Ciarán, where are you?" He hid in a little hole in the wall until he couldn't hear his mum anymore. Then, this man saw him and came up to him. "Hello, what are you doing down here?" Ciarán told him the story about being fed up with his siblings. The man's name was John and he was homeless. The few pounds Ciarán had, he gave it all to John. John refused to take it, so Ciarán went to the shop and bought John some food. John told Ciarán to go back to his mum and tell her you're sorry and give her a big hug and kiss and tell her why you ran out. They talked for a while and then he went back home and talked to his mum and said sorry. His mum said it was okay, but don't do it again. Just come and tell me and I'll help you. So a few days later, he went to get his mum some milk and Ciarán saw John. John said, "So, how was it? What did your mum say? Did she give out?" Ciarán replied, "No, she didn't. But that's because you helped me to go home and say sorry and tell her what happened." John said, "Thank you. Kids never really liked me because of the way I look. They always run away and scream, but you didn't. And that is why I feel happy." They saw each other again for a few days, but several days later, Ciarán found out that John had moved away. Ciarán continued to visit the place where John used to sit and remember the wise words John had shared with him.
I think we need some more of our poems now.
How about this one from St. Brennan's Primary School, Airtain? The Seasons by Anthony Murphy. When the spring comes, the flowers bloom, yellow daffodils for me and you. The summer sun is shining bright, everyone is warm and hot. Autumn's red and yellow leaves are falling on the ground. Wind whistles and howls, children jump and crunch the leaves. Winter comes and snow falls down like a pillow on the ground. It's a great poem, and you know what's really amazing, Caitlin? Anthony is only in third class.
I love the way I can see the colours, hear the crunch and feel the winter cold.
What's your favourite season, Caitlin?
My favourite season is autumn because I love the colours on the leaves. It's so pretty. What about yourself, Bob?
My favourite season is autumn because I love crunching up all the leaves.
I think we better get back to our poetry box. Ah, our poem this time comes from my school, St. Lawrence's National School, Baldoyle. My poem by Rhea Sharma. I was going to do it no matter what. I like doing just what I want, like making a gooey mess with slime and making this poem rhyme. I think of all things I can do, things in stories like why and who. But none of those things are fit for a poem. I'll never be able to do this on my own. But wonders of wonders, I have an idea. Got to get working, gotta go see it. I told you I like doing what I want. I'm going to do it no matter what.
I don't want to leave our poems. They're so good.
I know, Bob, it's not easy, but we have a really good story from St. John of God National School, Airtain, which will be read by Mary up next.
Danger Dog by Sophie Masterson. One day there was a stray dog walking down the road. This dog's name was Buster, and he was a really big dog. Buster was a white dog, but he was very dirty because he didn't like washing himself. This meant he was more brown than white. As Buster was walking down the road, a random person grabbed him. Buster was about to bite him, but then he realized the person was walking into a fabulous big house. So Buster decided he wanted to live there. As he was carried into the house, Buster was very impressed with what he saw. He walked upstairs. Buster thought the person... Wait, I feel bad saying the person, so let's call him Robbie. Buster thought Robbie was bringing him into a new room, but instead he walked into the dreaded bathroom. Oh no, thought Buster. Buster knew exactly what Robbie was about to do. So Buster bit him. Ouch! Screamed Robbie. Psst! Robbie was only 10 years old, so he dropped the very big dog with a fright. Buster ran away as fast as he could, knowing that if Robbie caught him, he would wash him in the bath. When Buster ran out of the bathroom, he found Robbie's mom blocking the way. Buster saw Robbie's mom's legs were open, so he ran through them as fast as he could. "Yes, we could arrange that," said Robbie's dad on the phone. As he came out of the kitchen, Buster tried to stop, but he couldn't, and ran straight into Robbie's legs, knocking him over. But Buster kept on running. As Buster ran through the door, he looked behind and saw he had gotten muddy paw prints all over Robbie's dad. One final look, and he saw Robbie and his mom were helping his dad up off the floor. He kept on going, though. So Buster walked down the road as if nothing had happened. Then he came across a cat. The cat meowed, and then it ran away from his owner as well. His name was Mr. Fluffy Pants. So Mr. Fluffy Pants and Buster became friends. It was happily ever after until the pound started chasing them. The pound caught Mr. Fluffy Pants. Buster went to save him, but got caught as well. When they got to the pound, they took Mr. Fluffy Pants out of his cage first, then put him in another one. Then Buster got out of his cage, but Buster seen a big red button and thought, why not? So he bit the guy that was holding him and ran for the big button. He jumped and pressed it. An alarm went off and all the cage doors opened. All the animals that were in the cages ran away, but Mr. Fluffy Pants waited for his best friend and they ran away together. So they were really in for it when they got them again. But little did they know, they already had the police after them. Buster and Mr. Fluffy Pants only found out when they heard, "We have you surrounded. Surrender now or we'll shoot." Buster and Mr. Fluffy Pants looked up and saw a police helicopter. They wondered what they'd done wrong. Buster had only bit two people, maybe 50 before this story starts. Mr. Fluffy Pants only scratched a person 10 times. He could have done more though. And they escaped from the pound. Still not enough to get thrown into jail, thought Buster. What Buster hated most about prison was the daily showers. "I have a plan," barked Buster to Mr. Fluffy Pants. "Follow my lead." Buster put his paws up to surrender. "What are you doing?" hissed Mr. Fluffy Pants. "You agreed to follow my lead," barked Buster. "Technically, I didn't," meowed Mr. Fluffy Pants. "Just follow my lead," barked Buster loudly. The police pointed their guns at them. "Just follow my lead," barked Buster more quietly. The police lowered their guns as Mr. Fluffy Pants put his paws up. Then they arrested them and shoved them into a car. When they got into prison, the police let Buster and Mr. Fluffy Pants out of the police car. Straight away, they were brought to their prison cells, which is exactly what Buster had planned. When they got there, Buster broke out of his handcuffs, well, paw cuffs, got the key from one of the police pockets, pushed the police into the cell and locked them in there. Buster unlocked Mr. Fluffy Pants' handcuffs and they ran away together. That's the end of their adventures, for now.
Brilliant story. Do you have a pet, Caitlin?
No, I don't. Have you a pet, Bob?
Yes, I have 3 cats and 2 goldfish, and probably a little spider up in the corner of my room. We're going to school first, Kilmore West, for a stunning story that couldn't be more different. A Soldier Called Bill by Jake Harvey is read for us by Frankie.
A Soldier Called Bill by Jake Harvey. In the middle of World War I, in the trenches, was a young man by the name of Billy Bob. Everyone called him Bill. Bill was experienced with a rifle and a precise sniper. When the British tried to charge and couldn't due to an MG nest, they would turn to Bill to clear it. Bill always had to be the last soldier out of the trench, as, despite his long-range accuracy, he wasn't the best shot up close. Bill's commander was very cruel and harsh. When on Christmas Day 1914, when everyone was shaking hands and singing, he told Bill to shoot the German soldiers. Bill knew this wasn't right, so he left, got a pan from the kitchen, and hit the commander in rage. The commander fell unconscious. This happened late in the evening. Now it was morning and the fighting began once again. No words were exchanged about the incident that had taken place. A few days later, in a charge attack, Bill was hit by a shrapnel, a hot substance sprayed by a grenade. He was due to be sent home after recuperating in the hospital. Bill was asleep when he was suddenly woken by a rattling sound. He opened his eyes and to his horror, he was in the heart of no man's land. The rattling was machine gun fire. Bill didn't know if he was dreaming or not, but he crawled to his trench anyways. His leg was messed up and bloodied, but he survived. Later that day, the commander visited Bill in hospital. He told Bill that the nurses had found him hallucinating, screaming and shouting in the hospital ward about being caught under fire in no man's land. He confirmed to Bill that he was definitely getting sent home soon, as he was well enough to travel. A few days later, Bill's commander was in the field when a grenade landed at his feet. The commander accidentally jumped on the grenade. Segments of flesh were spread everywhere. Bill found himself writing a note to the commander's family telling them of his death. The commander was going home before Bill. 2 weeks later, Bill recovered and was back on duty. Gas was now being used in battle, and when a little gas was released, the ill-prepared Germans were taken by surprise. The platoon Bill was in took the trench, but sadly Bill died in the battle that day.
Oh my god, I expected a different ending to that story.
Unfortunately, there are no happy endings in war. We're going to take our last batch of poems for today.
The Best Grandparent by Hannah Dunn. She is always on holidays, especially without me. Makes lovely toasties like no one else. Always cooking, from dinner to pies. Always singing, even when you don't want her to. But she is the best nanny ever.
This acrostic poem from St. Benedict's and St. Mary's National School, Rohini, will lighten the mood a bit. What a Wonderful World by Lexi Mae McDonald. Flowers in the summer day, lovely colours on them. On the sunny days, they need to be watered. You wonder how they do it, even so you think. Round the autumn comes they fall, so now here comes the winter.
And we're taking up with this acrostic poem from St. Brendan's Primary School, Artain.
Growth Mindset by Lewis Moore. Get knocked 7 times, get up 8. Reflect on our mistakes. Only you can do it, no one else. Win or learn. Till it's right, don't give up. Help when things are hard for others. Many mistakes will be made, but you learn. Improve that little bit every time. Never give up. One day you'll look back and be glad you didn't. Don't rely on anyone. Success will happen if you work hard. Even when you're not the best, try your best. Try that little harder every time.
That was truly fantastic.
It was, and we're not finished yet, as we're going over to Niamh in our Little Words Big Story Poets Corner. How are you today, Niamh?
Busy as always, here in the Poets Corner, Caitlin.
Hi, Niamh. Can I ask you a question, please?
Of course.
What type of poem do you like?
That's a great question. I like all our poems for a start. Poems are just another way of telling stories. Our poem of the week this week, Magic Box by Daniel Lee from Holy Trinity National School, Dominate, is a great example of what I mean. The Magic Box by Daniel Lee. I will put in the box the boom of a ticking time bomb, fire from the barrel of a Springfield 1908, a 24-inch green emerald from the deep dark depths of South Africa. I will put in the box the aroma of the salty sea on a clean summer morning and a blood-red poppy's battlefield of World War I. I will put in the box some moist mud from a fresh Irish bog, some seafood from industrial Japan, and some sparkling sands of the war-torn Middle East. My box is fashioned from a galaxy far, far away. With stars and a cold block from the coldest place on Earth, on the lid and a boom in the corners, its hinges are the hair of Bart Simpson. I shall gaze in my box at the first shovel put in the ground in 1914 and the first American paratroopers jumping out at France in 1944 in World War II.
That was fantastic. It fits well with an earlier theme in the programme and shows what you mean about a poem being another way of telling a story.
It's so hard to pick one poem over another because we get so many great pieces in. But until next week, slán!
Thanks for that, Niamh. Slán!
Our feature story today is brilliant. It comes in from St. John of God National School, Artane, and is read to us by its author.
I Will Do It No Matter What by Sarah Markey. I will do it no matter what. That's the promise I made to myself when I took up swimming lessons. In the beginning, I was a little bit nervous and afraid of the water in case it was too deep. But every week, I got over those fears. The swimming instructor, Mary, put me in the deep end and she assured me that I could do it. My mum got a fright when she saw me in the deep end. After a few weeks, I got better and better and more confident in my ability to swim. On our summer holidays, my dad could not believe I improved so much on my swimming. I told my dad that I was nervous at the beginning, but that I would never give up, no matter what. I never gave up.
Unfortunately, that's all we have for you today.
And I can't think of a better way to end a great programme. I hope we got to your story or poem. If not, there's one more week.
And of course, you can download the podcast of this programme from the Near FM website.
We hope you enjoyed today's programme.
And will join us at the same time next week for our last Little Words Big Story programme in the series broadcast here on Near FM.
Our Little Words Big Story readers are Stephen Conroy, Ella Given, Daniel Fee, Lynn Kinsler, Taylor McLaughlin, Andrea Prida, Jake Sutcliffe, Niamh O'Mara, Frankie Lalis, Bonvini Gonal, Ryan Cutter, Hannah Carroll, and myself, Alana Hederman.
Today's Little Words Big Story programme was produced by Enda M. Roach and is a Perman Media production for Near FM.
So for myself, Bob Duma,
and myself, Caitlin Cullen-Murphy,
until next week, slán go fóill!